Hey, we're going to talk high school state finals here in just 1 second, but we went to break saying, well, let's wait until we find out who's going to play for the Buckeyes before we make our picks on that one. Well, we know now one Buckeye that will not play is Jackson Smith in Jigba. He has announced he's skipping the playoffs and preparing for the NFL draft. So, man, that must be one hell of a hamstring injury. I've never had one, JT, so I don't know. Have you ever heard of a guy missing an entire season with a hamstring injury?
I don't know, but it doesn't surprise me. And, you know, at this point in time, with as few games as he played this year, maybe it's for the best.
So he will not go. So Emeka Ibuka and Marvin Harrison Jr. will be your top wideouts in that game. Now we wait to find out about Trevion Henderson and his foot,
right,
as well as Mayan Williams and whatever injury he has, to see if those guys, they better get one of those two running backs back if they're going to have any chance against Georgia. That's all I'll say. I don't care what adjustments they make. If they don't have one of those two guys, they're screwed.
You can't be giving up 75-yard touchdown plays either. I mean, that's a foregone conclusion. I mean,
but
if you look at Georgia,
defense,
I think the strength of Georgia is going to be their defense, but you can't allow that offense to get off the way Michigan did against you.
So there's the latest news on the Buckeyes. We'll talk more about it with Tim May coming up at 4:30. Right now, we want to go to the hotline and bring in an author and CEO and head high school writer at KeonSports.com. His most recent book, Northeast Ohio High School Football Rivalries, A History. It makes for a great Christmas present, especially in Stark County, if you love high school football like you do. So go pick that up at Barnes & Noble or online. Vince McKee joining us right now. Vince, thanks for making time for us. How are you?
Hey, I'm thrilled to be on the show. Thank you for having me. I know I'm here to talk high school football, but I just have to say this. I look back to 2002 with that magical Ohio State football national championship run that we went on, and I can't imagine for a single second one of those guys sitting out to prepare for an NFL draft. Amazing.
I know.
Yeah, but did anybody have a torn hamstring in that team?
Well, Claret was hurt all year, and he played through that. He came back and played through most of that.
Don't know how bad.
But I agree with him. The times have changed.
Yeah. No question.
Players are looking out for themselves more than, you know, what was part of the team camaraderie of that Jim Tressel squad that shocked Miami. So we'll see what the guys they have, Vince, what they can do come December 31st, 8 o'clock in Atlanta, Advantage Georgia in the Peach Bowl. You covered all 7 high school football state championship games over the weekend. So let's start this way, Vince McKee. What game jumped out at you, either from the standpoint of most exciting game or most surprising game over the weekend?
Well, I'll tell you what, it might just be one and the same, and that was opening night. Thursday night with Toledo Central Catholic defeating Hoban 28-21. Just an amazing game. You saw Toledo Central Catholic get up in this one 14-0. Hoban starting to make a move in the second quarter when the pass goes through Crable's hands, gets picked off, taken all the way back, pick 6, 92 yards by Braden Owls of Toledo Central Catholic. And you know what? Just like that, at 21-0, the steam was kind of let out of the tires. But as you know, Tim Tyrell is going to do, he's going to motivate that team. He's going to make those adjustments. Hoban comes all the way back, cuts it down to 28-21. You know, they get down to the last play of the game with a shot to tie it. Lamar Sperling rushes for 356 yards. That's a Division II record. A Division I record was 393. He almost got to that. Just an amazing, amazing Thursday night to start what ended up being a pretty incredible weekend.
Vince, I want to ask you about that entire weekend. We're looking at the attendance numbers. The Division III game draws the best crowd at 7,790. What does that say about the state of high school football in the state of Ohio? Shouldn't there be more people watching these games? Or is it simply because it's so late in the year and maybe the weather was just too crappy?
You know what? I'm not real sure, because I look back to 2018, which wasn't that long ago, and you had a Maslin versus Hoban game, which I still, to this day, say was one of the greatest state championship games of all time, and you had 21,000 people in those stands, sold out. We saw it all weekend long, very small crowds. I can't wrap my head around it. I could tell you something about that Canfield game, 35-14, Brock Lowry going to Indiana to play quarterback, obviously the Canfield quarterback, he tore it up. And, you know, with us writing about every single game, I'll give you this little nugget. We wrote about every game, and we have a YouTube highlight package for every single game. And obviously, as the CEO, the admin of our website, I could see where the hits come from. Crazy enough, that game might have had the highest attendance, and it's also had the highest number of views coming into the site to read about it. So what that says about Canfield and Bloom Kirrell, you know, it's pretty incredible. Then you factor in that that game was at, I want to say 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. So just kind of odd how that all worked out. But honestly, to answer your question, I don't have an exact answer. I don't know if you want to lower ticket costs. I don't know if it's the weather. I don't know if it's the fact that Spectrum shows you all 7 games for free. There's a lot of factors there.
Well, we know one thing. If Maslin's playing, they're going to travel. So I guess the other question would be this. Does it need to be centrally located? Is this a problem with people not traveling from the southern part of the state?
Well, I look at it when it was in Columbus, you know, you had the same types of crowds, and it might have seemed even smaller because of the bigger stadium. Down, I mean, in Cincinnati, you had Wyoming come up, and they had to play last, right, on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So for those fans to make that game, that's at least a 3.5-hour trip. So if you want to move it more central, that's something that, you know, the OHSAA would have to consider. But it's they make it affordable because you could buy – I'm pretty sure there's ticket packages. I haven't bought a ticket to a high school football game in 10 years. I couldn't tell you what they cost off the top of my head. But I do know that there's packages that were supposed to make it affordable for fans.
We're talking right now high school football with Vince McKee. Follow him on Twitter at SportsKee, K-E-E, number one. So it's at SportsKee one about the 7 high school state championship games over the weekend. Toledo Central Catholic started it off as the 5 seed, upending the number 2 seed, Hoban, 28-21, 4th state title for Toledo Central Catholic. Back-to-back years that Tim Tyrrell has lost with his squad. And then the other game I wanted to ask you about, Division I, St. Ed's and Springfield, a rematch from last year. Same result, back-to-back state championships for Tom Lombardo. Now his 4th with St. Ed's, 5th overall as a high school football coach. What was that matchup like? How close was that one? Because I was dealing with the flu and didn't get to see any of these games.
Absolutely incredible, Kenny. And if anybody else out there missed any of the games, please check out KeyOnSports.com. We have full written recaps and video recaps of all 7. Now, that game, to me, was unbelievably exciting. The scoreboard at times might have not reflected it, but at one point, Springfield came back in the second half, made it 21-14, and then St. Ed's was able to put them away. The biggest point, Kenny, I can make about that particular game is this. All season long, Springfield protected their quarterback. They didn't let anybody get to him, right? Saying that in 15 games, he got sacked 9 times. 9 times in 15 games. It's unheard of. That night alone, saying that's put him down 9 times.
Wow.
They put him on his back 9 times. Wyatt Gideon, 3 sacks. Michael Cobain is going to Northwestern, 3.5 sacks. It was those two. They raised havoc. You mix that in, you give Tom Lombardo enough time to game plan, and that was something in itself. It was a beautiful game, excellent championship game. What stands out to me, though, and what I think is a never-ending debate when it comes to high school football, was Springfield's head coach in the post-game press conference went off. He was upset because he does not believe private schools should be playing against public schools in the state playoffs. And he made a bit of a tangent about it last year, and I could tell this year it was really on his mind because he found a way to kind of interpret that into every single question. But the game itself was incredible.
You know, I want to ask you the question, and you mentioned a couple of the players. I mean, obviously, we're well aware of Sperling at Hoban, but who else stood out over the weekend? Who should we be looking forward to at the next level?
Outstanding question. So glad you said that, because I got all kinds of notes I wanted to use. The South Range quarterback, Division 5, South Range, okay? They win 53-27 to start off Friday morning. Their quarterback, watch for him at the next level. Not sure how many offers he has yet, but Billy Skirpak, again, named Billy Skirpak, 3 touchdowns in the air for 331, 3 touchdowns on the ground. This kid was unstoppable. Billy Skirpak, built like a machine. He was about 6'5", had a rocket for an arm. Can't wait to see what that kid's going to do on the next level. We already talked about Brock Lowry out of Canfield, their quarterback. He had 1 touchdown pass, he had 1 touchdown catch, and he ran for 3 touchdowns. Like I said, he kind of did everything. There's a couple guys, though, further on down the line, for instance, that play in a much lower division that probably won't get any, you know, enough press. And one of them is from Division 7, New Bremen, who beat JFK 38-6. Their quarterback, this kid was a one-man wrecking crew, David Holman, 235 yards rushing with 4 touchdowns. Warren JFK didn't have a single answer for this kid. For everybody out there listening, keep your ears open on the next level for David Homan on a new Bremen. To me, between Homan and Billy Skirpak, they were two of the better quarterbacks this weekend. I actually thought they both outplayed Brock Lowry, who also had a phenomenal weekend. But again, if you wanted to talk defense, I have to give them credit. I've been covering St. Ed's all season long. I haven't seen two better defensive linemen than Wyatt Gideon and Michael Combain come down the pike in a long time.
Vince, what about our old pipeline, Ted Ginn Sr. at Glenville? Glenville wins their first title. Anybody heading down to Columbus?
I'll tell you what, they have some big offensive linemen on that team. Again, I think, you know, you're going to see more and more commitments come out over the next few weeks. When you see teams get deep like this into the playoffs, they kind of hold off. I know Lamar Sperling, you know, the rumors were Buffalo. Now over the weekend after he had that big game, people started talking about Kentucky. As far as Glenville goes, they do have two monster running backs, Javon Goodson and Deshante Jones. Now, Deshante Jones is built like a linebacker with the speed of a receiver. And that's a pretty lethal combination. Nobody could stop him all year. We got a team up here in Northeast Ohio. Everybody's obviously heard of the Avon Eagles, coached by Mike Elder. When Glenville beat them up earlier this season, it was Jones just running through people. So that's a name you want to keep your eye on. I didn't see too much out of their quarterback, Deontay Rucker. Quite frankly, that impressed me at all. But those two running backs are ones to watch.
You know what? And congratulations to Ted Ginn Sr.
Absolutely.
First state championship at Glenville, thinking back on all the great players that have come through there that I have covered. His son, Ted Ginn Jr., Marshawn Lattimore, just off the top of my head, right? Been there twice for a state title, came up short, wins his first ever state championship as they beat Cincy, Wyoming 26-6 in the Division IV state title. Unfortunately for Cincy, Wyoming, I believe they're the Buffalo Bills, unfortunately,
yep.
high school football. Four straight state title games, four straight
wow.
losses. That's a hell of an achievement just to get there, but it hurts, obviously, not to win one. Kudos to Coach, again, getting that first step. How emotional was that in the post-game celebration and everything for Glenville?
Oh, very much so. I mean, he was crying. You know, anytime you see a head coach with tears in his eyes, you know that means a lot. That's a program that's kind of come back from the dead over the last couple of years. You know, all kinds of things going on. You know, enrollment was way down. They slipped down to Division IV. But as I think a lot of people saw this year, they were a Division IV team with Division I talent. This was a team that could have competed with a Hovind in Division II. They could have competed with a St. Ed's and a Moeller in Division I. They had that kind of talent. And you could just tell, I mean, I spoke with Coach Gann a few weeks back in the regionals, and you could just tell this season meant a little bit something more to him, maybe something a little extra special. As these guys get older in age and they've been doing this for such a long time, I think maybe they kind of see the big picture. I mean, I spoke with him the same weekend. Chuck Kyle of Ignatius retired, and he was just very complimentary of Coach Kyle. And, you know, he's a man's man, and I'll say that. He really is.
That is so interesting you say that, Vince, because, you know, leading into the championship games over the weekend, a lot of people thought that Hoban would win on any level, any division. Well, obviously, they didn't even win their own division. Can we say
wrong.
That there is any other team? Could the Toledo team maybe have beaten St. Ed's, in your opinion?
Oh, my gosh. That's a spicy meatball. I'm actually going to say yes.
Wow.
And I love saying that.
Wow.
Disclosure, they've treated me like a king the last couple of years. But no, Toledo Central Catholic, I'll give you guys this. With the way they played in the postseason this year, I'm not sure there's a team in the state that could have beat them. They were that good. I mean, they jumped out. You know, like I said, they were up 28-7 at halftime against Hovind. And this was a good Hovind team. Not one of the better Hovind teams over the last 5 or 6 years. I'll say that because I've seen them all. But still a very, very good Hovind team. A team that, you know, beat Maslin pretty soundly a few weeks ago. This was a good Hovind team, but I think Toledo Central Catholic had them figured out, quite frankly. Now, again, you know, apples to oranges, could they have done that against St. Ed's? I don't know. I want to count them out, wouldn't bet against them. And I'll say this, I covered Ed's versus Hovind week 10. Hovind came to that game 9-0, and St. Ed's, you know, had a tough time in the first half, pulled away a little bit in the second half, but it's really hard to say. I mean, quite frankly, the best performance of the entire weekend by a team, not just a player, but an actual team, believe it or not, was the most boring game. It was Marion Local, who won 14-6 in Division 6, And their defensive line didn't let Kirtland do anything. I mean, here we are, the mighty Kirtland, sure, you know, all these years with the Hornets is rolling through people. And Marion Local never let them get the ball past the 50. The only time Kirtland got a touchdown was because they had a turnover deep inside Marion Local territory. So on any given night, you don't know what you're going to see. It happens.
How about this? Maria Stein Marion Local finishes 16-0. The Flyers move up, I think it was, from did they move up, Vince, or did they move down? They weren't in Division VI last year, so they either moved up and moved down, and Kirtland did the opposite of whatever they did, okay? So, you know, they
moved up.
They moved up. All right, so they go from 7-6 and still win the state title. 13th state title. Okay, for Marion Local, most in the state of Ohio, second on that list, St. Ignatius with 11. So congratulations to them. And Tiger Laverty, no slouch either. You know, he's won some state titles during his run there with the Hornets. They finished 15-1. So, you know, a lot of great games. And South Range, a winner over Ironton, they finished 16-0. 16-0. Vince, you've covered high school football for a while now. JT and I talked about this, and we got about a minute left here. How tough is it now to win a state championship and go perfect 16-0 since the playoffs have been expanded?
Absolutely unheard of. St. Ed's was not able to do it last year. They went 15-1 and won the state title. We saw them do it again this year, 15-1 and won the state title. It's absolutely unheard of. For Marion Local to be able to do this, it's an incredible thing for their defense. I would advise everybody to go look at the Marion Local, you know, whatever, press report this year. Go get their scores off of Max Props or Keon Sports, quite frankly. They shut everybody out. This is a team that played 16 games, shut out 11 other teams. Absolutely incredible. Conversation for a different day. I do not feel there should be 16 weeks of high school football. I'm the biggest high school football fan you're going to meet, and I think it's ridiculous. They should go back to 15 weeks. I think that's another problem. But that being said, I can't. You're not going to see a lot of 16-0 teams like this. This was truly something special, yeah. Them and Glenville both.
Yeah, South Range 16-0, Marion Local 16-0, Glenville 15-0, All-State champs, Toledo Central Catholic, Canfield, St. Ed's, New Bremen also state champs as well. So congratulations to all those teams. Hey, Vince, for everybody out there, give them ways to see what you guys do there covering high school sports in Northeast Ohio. Tell them all the different ways.
Check us out, guys. KeyOnSports.com. That's K-E-E onsports.com is our website. You don't want to miss our YouTube page. Swing over to the Key on Sports YouTube page. We have videos of every kind of sport you could think of. High school sports obviously being the biggest one. And I do owe JT a quick apology because as I'm thinking about it, Toledo Central Catholic played St. Ed's week one and St. Ed's beat them.
All right. Well, so there you go. That's their argument right there to say who's the best. Hey, Vince, great stuff. Keep up the fantastic work. We'll get into your book another time when we have more time to discuss the rivalries in Northeast Ohio, all right?
Sounds great, Kenny and JT. Thanks again for having me on.
Vince McKee, follow him on Twitter, at SportsKee, K-E-E, number one, and you can get all that high school football coverage in Northeast Ohio. All right, we got breaking news involving the Buckeyes. When we come back, we'll tell you all about that. Stay with us.